Welcome to the Typical Life Coach Podcast. John Strasser here, your host as well as founder of the Insight Coaching Community. Natalie's here with me. Natalie Strasser together. She and I are going to take you inside our business, the Insight Coaching Community, to explore how to go all in and bet on yourself. Now, most important question that I can ask, that any coach can ask, is are you ready to get started?
I'm ready.
You're ready. Now, are you being coached right now?
No.
Hopefully not.
I hope not.
Because you've been coached many times without permission.
Without permission.
Without knowing ahead of time. But I want to dive in. So another great question. I like sharing really great questions because that's why coaches are listening, aspiring coaches, whoever. Another great question is, before we dive in, is there anything you'd like to share?
No, nothing specific.
Okay. And another great question can be, before we dive in, is there anything you'd like to let go of? Is there? Yeah. And I share that because oftentimes clients, when we come to a call, they have something that they need to share, maybe catch you up on, maybe let go of, release.
Right.
And you as a coach, you're intuitive. You're getting more connected to your clients and to the coaching process, and you ask that sort of question.
Right.
Yeah. So let's talk about it. I just want to catch up with you real quick, Natalie. So what, I'll ask a specific question. What's something, because you've been a little while since you've been on the podcast, and here you are, we're doing audio and video. Mm-hmm. So these episodes are now going on YouTube. If you're listening by way of audio, just know Insight Coaching Community YouTube channel. You can watch us. You can see how beautiful Natalie truly is. Look at you.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's true. You can see how much I leveled up. And if you're watching on video, then you're seeing it right now. So yeah, Natalie, what's been good and what's different lately?
I mean, Savannah, our daughter, is in swimming lessons and she's in basketball league. And it is so joyful to see her grow like that. And she's just getting older by leaps and bounds. And it's just a phenomenal process to witness. And that's been what's really good in my life, in our life, I feel like, lately.
Oh, for sure. And I'm just curious, what's one thing that you see in her and in the progress she's making? Because as you're saying, and as we're both seeing, she's developing each and every day. She's constantly evolving. So what's one thing that you see in her progress that allows you to see the progress that you make in yourself or that you experience yourself? Yeah.
Can you reword that?
Yeah. When you look at Savannah and how much she grows and changes, mm-hmm. what is one thing that you notice in her that you see in yourself?
Oh, there's things that I see in her that I don't have myself or that I didn't have myself. Growing up, like, she is extremely independent and it's really showing up, especially in the swimming lessons, to watch her go off without you and me. She doesn't really understand that we're on the side watching her. And she's just extremely independent. And I know that when I was her age, I was a very timid, shy child. So I'm seeing a lot of differences in her. But also, I mean, I became extremely independent as a young adult. So I guess, yeah, the independence, but it goes both ways because I was not as independent as she is at her age. And it took me a long time to get there.
Yeah. Well, you know, this episode, this is the 76th episode.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, this is episode 76 and season 2. Mm-hmm. Season 2 now marks what we just mentioned, which is we're offering this on video in addition to audio. And this episode, this is how to go all in and bet on yourself. And that bet on yourself, that came, quick story, when Savannah was a baby, I was taking her, we were living in Florida still, living in Tampa, I was taking her to the Tampa Yankees. This is the New York Yankees professional baseball team. It's their rookie league. So it's like the minorest minor league, youngest guys, basically worst of the bet of the pros, right? The lowest level league. I was taking her at times to the games, and the Yankees manager back then was Rachel Balcovich, the first female baseball manager in history.
Ever.
I mean, a historic part of history, I guess. Does that make sense? Historic part of history, but a really significant part of history. First female manager in Major League Baseball history was the manager for the team where we live. So I had taken Savannah. So after the game, we waited around and she came out. Rachel, the manager, came out. Amazing woman, young woman.
Young, like 30.
Yeah, just really cool. You know, with all these guys, she's the manager of the team. Imagine what she's been through.
Right.
Imagine what she's been through.
And for those that don't know baseball, and I didn't understand this, the manager of the team is the head coach of the team. It's not like the manager in football or something like that, right? Is the head coach.
Yeah, whereas football,
so she's the coach.
Manager in football is the guy who gets the water bottles and stuff. It's totally different. So the head coach or the manager of the team, who's basically in charge of everyone,
right,
just does everything. I mean, she's the boss of all the players. She's a female among all these male players. Point is, after one of the games, we waited around, Savannah and I, you weren't there. Savannah was a baby, to get a picture with Rachel. And I handed Rachel Savannah, got a great picture, Savannah and Rachel, took it home, went home, had the picture printed, made it into a big picture.
Yeah, you blew it up.
Really big, right? How big? Like,
maybe like 12 by 15.
Yeah, I mean, really just big. And then we went back and I had Rachel sign it. And I was with Savannah again and she signed it to Savannah, "Bet on yourself, Rachel Balcovich." And I always wondered what that was. And if you follow Rachel on Instagram, there's at least, I don't really follow people on Instagram as much, but what I've seen from her, she's got a real sense of independence about her and a real sense of like, you can't hold me down and I'm going to do some big things, particularly as a woman making my way in a completely
in a man's world.
Big time. Man's world as possibly as you could possibly be, pretty much. Even more than football, I think. So, Natalie, what does that mean to you? Like, what do you think bet on yourself means?
Bet on yourself to me means you have to be so confident in yourself that if you were putting money down, like if I was actually like making a bet and putting money down, that I would be betting on myself because I know 150% that I'm going to win. Right?
I'm going
to win. And so I'm going to put all my money on me.
Yeah.
And that's what it means to me. Man. I think like money betting.
Yeah, right, like gambling, right, right. Betting. No, I like that. Right, right. I asked Heather McLaren in our community the other day, and she had a similar response. Actually, it wasn't a response that I had. I was mostly confused by that, bet on yourself. I always took it as, you know, nobody's going to do it but you. Like, bet on yourself as in you're the one that's going to
happen. Nobody's coming.
Nobody's coming, that sort of thing. But it really aligns with what I want to get into, what we're going to talk about today, which is how to go all in and how to bet on yourself. For you, betting on yourself is it literally going all in. I mean, we could look at it in terms of gambling, like you go all in.
Right.
Like you take all your chips and you just, you put them on your 21 hand or whatever, blackjack hand or something, or Texas Hold'em.
And then you're all in on yourself. So there's no choice but for you to to make it and to do it.
Well, that's really what it is. Yeah, to go all in. You know, some would say like burning every bridge of possible retreat, burning the boats. I mean, it really is like, can I do this? And one of the inspirational messages I've gotten, I think just from watching different influencers on social media, is this point where you look at yourself and you say, can I do this? You know, can I go all in? And I think that's an imperative part of this business. And I went all in to an extent when I went all in this business by trying to make this a business. And since making it a business, and I think there's different levels, and I think where we're at is a final level of going all in. I decided this past week on February 19th. Do you know this, February 19th? Did I tell you this?
About that specific date?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So on February 19th, it was this past Monday, February 19th, 2024, I did what I had heard others do. I took some time and I looked at myself in the mirror and I said, can you do this? Can you do this? Can you really go all in? And essentially, do you have what it takes? And I know I have what it takes. I know I can do this and it's a matter of doing it. So I committed on that day and I've been holding on to that day. That's a day. Just didn't mention it to you. You hear a lot of me talking.
I do.
You hear a lot. You're my one, you know, so I think I didn't mention that just to give you a break for a minute. But I decided on that day, some few days ago, that I'm going all in. So I want to take everyone inside our business a bit and really explore what that means. So I want you to be curious with me and just explore what that means.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I've heard you say that phrase multiple times this week. Actually, you're like, that's it. I'm going all in. We're all in now. And so, yeah. So what does that mean to you, going all in?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So the idea with this episode is how to go all in and bet on yourself. So in response to what you just asked, and by the way, everyone, we're creating this as we go, you know, as always, essentially no preparation, allowing what comes up in the moment, particularly based on questions. And in this space for you and I, look at this. I mean, if you're watching on video, you can really see this sacred space here in this dark office of mine, wooden office in a wood cabin right now with our dog at the door, scratching on the door the whole time. Boo Boo wants in.
Should right? I open it?
Yeah, go ahead. Let her in. I mean, she's we said, hey, wait a second. Is Boo, I was like, get the dogs out of here. They're making all this noise, scratching and doing all these things. Get them out of here. And Natalie said, will Boo Boo come to the door? We said, we'll see. She did. But yeah, what does it mean to you, man?
What does it mean to go all in your business?
Well, for me, it means really starting to focus on doing the things that matter. And the big insight that I've had lately is that at the point I'm at in my business in year 10, and with the kind of business we have this international life coach training and certification community. We essentially have a training grounds that it's really time to start doing more significant social media, and that everyone online and as far as these people who teach social media are all saying, like, you have to be doing a lot of social media, and it's about putting your content out there and being among all the voices, knowing that it's going to land for some people and it's free advertising. And here's the paradox is how I'm constantly teaching new coaches.
I was just going to ask.
Yeah, I mean, ask it.
So you're saying it's imperative to be on social media and go all in on social media, but why are we training our coaches that social media doesn't matter?
Yeah, because
when you're starting a business,
it doesn't work, because in the beginning, what you're up against is your mind's propensity to do anything else except what matters. And when you're building a high touch, high commitment, one-on-one coaching practice, which is what all coaches need to build, coaches want to build, you know, group coaching programs and all kinds of funnels and courses and some of these easy things that they think are going to get them to where they want to go. But it's not going to work until you've gone through the challenge of learning to connect with another human being on a one-on-one basis and actually coach. So there's multiple reasons. Let me get into it. The social media is going to distract you and be very alluring when you're wanting to avoid actually connecting, actually coaching. It's easy, it's passive, and it's not going to help you move the ball forward. What you're posting about your coaching is something that people are confused by. People have misconceptions about. People think is stupid. I mean, it just doesn't work, and you suck. You suck at social media. like almost every coach that starts out in this business and tries to post on social media, let me just be honest, you suck at it. Right?
Yeah.
You suck at it and you haven't gone all in.
Right.
You know, I tried to use social media to build my business. I spent the first 2 years on social media, creating content, putting it out there all day. Had a Facebook business page with 25, 30,000 followers. It still exists. But what I did, I went to Apple and I got trained on how to use Final Cut Pro for a year. I'm a professional content creator, professional video editor. Like, I know how to do everything. So when I did social media early on, I was fully committed, and the social media that I did, it was awesome. Mm-hmm. And it still did not make me any money.
Right.
I mean,
and that's the thing, is that whatever you're doing at the beginning, when you are starting your business, it has to be something that is going to directly get you into conversation with another person and get you coaching.
Look at this lady.
And the social media just with coaching, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so the reason that you're going all in on social media now is because this has completely evolved into a very large working business with employees, and it's a
training too.
So it's more of a school that we're trying to get the word out about. So social media is necessary with that. But if you were trying to coach one-on-one, you're still going to reach out directly to people. Like, it's never going to be for you.
It's my only hope.
Right.
I mean, it's my only chance. If I'm not proactively reaching out to people regularly to connect, to get interested, to invite them to an experience of my coaching as a gift, perhaps for my birthday, to offer a project. Hey, for the month of February, I want to coach 10 people I've never coached before and share some love with them in honor of Valentine's Day or whatever. Like, if I'm not making it happen, then nothing is going to happen.
Yeah.
And if I think that putting it out there, putting some inspiring post out there, or talking about my coaching is going to have people reach out, it's never going to happen. Mm-hmm. It is never going to happen. And like I said, in most cases, in 99 out of 100, the coach who's decided to start doing some social media isn't committed and isn't good at it. So if you must do social media, then become a social media maven. Still, it won't work well. Do it at the end of the day, at the end of your workday, rather than at the beginning, and make sure at the beginning you're doing what matters. Mm. Yeah. So in our business, as you're mentioning, it's a different business. My niche has found me, right? It's this idea. You don't find your niche has found you, or your niche finds you. My niche found me early on when all I was trying to do was find ways to make money because I had to pay the bills. And I found that serving coaches, connecting with coaches, people who wanted to become coaches, it was something I did well, I enjoyed, and something I started to make some money from in addition to one-on-one coaching and some other programs and things and retreats and all these things I've done. So now that I have a niche, it makes sense in year 10. I mean, imagine full-time income that pays for our entire life from this business. And now in year 10, now we're going to go for it.
Yeah.
And I'm also, I'm at a point where I'm not as scared as I once was, because part of me going all in, and this is taking people inside our business, part of me going all in is deciding to take on the coaching industry and all this coaching out there that's supposed to be good when it's really not. It's not coaching, it's teaching, it's advising, it's telling, and offering examples and showing people how it's not good.
Yeah.
So I had to get to a place where I'm not scared.
And also, you know that your product is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
It's gold. It is pure gold. We have hundreds and hundreds of people that, you know, have left reviews saying what their experience is. So when you're newer starting out and you're trying to go on social media and portray that, you know, you're the most amazing coach and you really don't feel like you are, then that's going to be really difficult on you with the imposter syndrome.
Yeah, gosh. I mean, that's part of it too. If deep down inside you're not that confident in your coaching, which you can't be, you won't be, not for the first many months, years, sometimes years, mm-hmm. depending on where you're at. Coaches who come into our community, they get confident much quicker because they coach a ton. They mess up a ton. They feel stupid a ton. They fail a ton, kind of quote fail,
right,
in the sense that they don't live up to their too high ideals. And then they get better. But yeah, if deep down inside you're not that confident, which most coaches aren't, because most coaches are not coaching much. That's the essence of the Typical Life Coach podcast. Typical Life Coach is the coach that rarely coaches, mm-hmm. mostly posting, rarely coaching. That's the Typical Life Coach. So then when you do post or try to put yourself out there or try to make some moves, your energy, it's no good because you're scared.
Yeah.
And you don't actually want to coach.
What if people actually sign up?
Yeah.
I don't really know what I'm doing. I don't really have the confidence. What are they going to think? You know, you're still going through all of those beginning stages of self-doubt. And it just doesn't align with that. So, so you're going all in now.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going all in terms of
social media,
but also in terms of my own personal commitments around health, fitness, frustration, emotions,
anger,
right?
Anger, yeah. We've been talking about.
Man, yeah. We've had some huge insights. You know, we bring you inside our business, literally. Mm-hmm. I want to share, you know, Natalie and I, we regularly argue and fight, you know, and I've always thought that's a great thing. In fact, we were connected with a couple some years back. And their whole thing was they never fight.
They've never, ever, ever had a fight.
And they're relationship coaches too. And so their kind of offering was all about, you know, we've got this perfect relationship. We never fight. And we can help you do the same. That hasn't worked for them as a business. And I always judge them. I'm a big judger, right? But I always judge them like, yeah, because it's not real. Like,
right. And you can't coach people on relationships if you've never been through those adversities yourself, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If everything's perfect, but also it's so important to argue and to grow and to challenge each other and to get that stuff out. Like, we're human.
Yeah, no, if there's no challenge, if there's no struggle, if there's no pain, there's no growth.
Right.
Nobody's changing when everything's working out perfectly.
Right.
Yeah. So anyways, we argue, I don't know if it's a lot, but regularly.
It used to be a lot.
Yeah, we've progressed a ton.
We fit a lot of relationship into a very short amount of time.
Man, we haven't been together 4 years. Haven't even known each other 4 years. Got engaged, got married, had a kid. She's almost 2.5. Got another baby halfway on the way.
Went through my mom's death.
Oh my God. Moved in together. Moved
twice
to Georgia. Bought a home. I mean.
So we were fighting a lot at the beginning.
Yeah.
Just getting to know each other and getting to know what we didn't like about each other and what we couldn't accept in the other person. And
well, getting to know the real.
The real, yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, I came in, boy, I was amazing, right?
So was I.
We were both just perfect.
We were perfect.
Oh my God, and then we found out.
And then you put a ring on it.
Yeah.
And the real Nat knocked.
Oh, I know. Once the ring was on it,
boy. Oh, yeah. So.
So here's what's happened.
The story.
We've both had, but particularly me, just recently, major insight that here's what I've seen. We're addicted as people, not just me, but as humankind, we're addicted to the same, right? So I see this in coaches. Coaches are used to always feeling like they're never enough, right? This is their predominant feeling. Whatever they're doing, they come into coaching, they create expectations that are too high. They can't possibly meet those expectations. And then they continuously get to feel like they're not enough. Mm-hmm. I grew up in an environment, had loving parents. They did the best they could. There was a lot of resentment and frustration that came from that. I was also frustrated. I grew up an overweight kid. There was this part of me that wanted to be the best and was the best and was this amazing being within that body, but was not respected and always felt like I wasn't enough. It was really tough. And so I was angry. And I was angry at myself, you know, for not being my best self. And I think a lot of us suffer from that. Mm-hmm. And so you just get used to being frustrated, being angry, feeling less than, judging, you know, all these kinds of things. And you literally become addicted to
it. The victim, that's another big thing.
Victim being the victim, you know, this has happened to me. It's because mm-hmm. these are the experiences we had growing up we as in people, but particularly, let's say, me. And then in adulthood, I'm literally addicted to those feelings, those way of beings, those experiences. So I keep recreating that. And the work of Dr. Joe Dispenza, where he says the hardest part of change is not doing the same thing you did the day before. And it's so simple. It's like all you have to do is just not do, not be, not create what you did, was, and created the day before. And he asserts that the addiction, basically, or the conditioning, let's say in this example, to being frustrated, to feeling less than, to never feeling enough, it's literally in the body. It's not just in our mind and in our thoughts and our emotions. It's in our whole energetic being. And I believe that more than anything. And I've had this big insight that when I create, because I'll just create an argument with Natalie, or Natalie will do the same with me. It's because my body, my whole being is like craving that feeling of frustration that I'm used to, or the feeling of being up and down, or the feeling of, you know, fear, you know, financial fear. I grew up in financial chaos.
Yeah.
Up and down with money with my parents. So throughout my entire adult life, we're up, we're down, we got it, we don't, oh my God, you know. And this huge insight and this leveling up, and for me, this going all in is, you know what? I see it. I see the truth here. My life is nothing but I keep recreating day in and day out based on the past because I've been addicted to it. So all I have to do is just not do the same thing I did the day before,
which I love.
And we've been killing it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you and I, we've been doing
really well. Because my addiction from my childhood is I feel the need to constantly defend myself.
Yeah.
Because my mother, rest her soul, she was an amazing mom. She was extremely critical of me and my sister all the time. So I feel like anything that comes out of your mouth sometimes, if it's said the wrong way, is an attack on me, and I have to defend myself no matter what, and I have to be right. And so I am working on not doing what I did yesterday as well. And it's been working. It's been, it's a great kind of spiritual truth from
Well, it helps Joe when Dispenza. I don't, yeah, it helps when I don't offer you some kind of criticism, which you then react not based on me, but based on your past, thus recreating the same feelings you're addicted to, and me then creating the same feelings I've been addicted to, frustration, resentment, you know, constantly and in close.
It's a disaster.
Yeah.
I mean, when even just saying it out loud, like, of course it's not going to.
And it sounds horrible too. Like, it's not that bad. I mean, I don't know. There might be perception that this is some big thing, but it's a.
We're talking about like leaving a wet sponge in the sink kind of argument.
Well, I'm saying as far as the extent at which we argue, I mean, I just don't want to give the perception that, I mean, we have 98% of the time an amazing relationship, but it can get to a different level. So, all in is really deciding that I'm taking ownership of my life, my relationship, my business. Nobody's coming. All I have to do is day in and day out, one day at a time, stay very consistent and very aware of what am I creating? Yeah. What am I creating? I want to check in. If you haven't yet, please go to our YouTube channel and check it out. Subscribe. Mm-hmm. If you're watching this on our YouTube channel, head over to iTunes, Spotify, our website, any platform where you might listen to this podcast, and please follow it. And then for everyone, man, we love a review.
Yeah.
It really helps on podcasts. It really helps people.
Please.
What will you give them? What reward will you offer them if they leave a top review?
A red balloon.
A red balloon. Wow.
Now, everybody gets a red balloon.
Yeah. I feel like that was really deep. I want everyone experiencing this podcast to think for themselves. And I'll ask the question. Let me just create the context and ask the question. The context is like, what are you addicted to? Like, what are you recreating? That's kind of the question as well. Let me actually ask the question. So thinking about what you've just heard from us thus far and our insight around creating in the present what we've experienced in the past, because we're literally addicted to that, right? People are addicted to feeling less than, feeling frustrated, feeling like they never have enough. They never have enough money. They don't have love. They, you know, all of these kinds of things. What is that thing that you keep creating that you've been addicted to as well? Yeah. And then let's do this. Let's offer an example of what we're now putting out on this. It's not a new YouTube channel, but it's one that we're going to get into and
it's
start.
It's the new all in.
It's the new all in where we're going to create content that's really helpful. And in some ways, industry, life coaching industry disrupting, mm-hmm. because I'm going to say, hey, the life coaching industry thinks this coaching is good. It's not. It's really not that great. And in many cases, it's not even coaching. It's advising, it's consulting, it's telling, it's trying to get the client to get what the coach thinks they should get. So that's what this example will be. So I'm going to go ahead, Natalie. I want you to watch this.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, we're going to watch first few minutes of this. This is a separate piece of content going up on our YouTube channel, but let's take a look at this together. And then I'm going to jump in and just share some things. Knowing what you know, Natalie, I want you to listen for what doesn't work, which is basically everything.
How can I support you? If we're going to play I Can Get You Any Client or do anything you like around your life or your business right now, if I was going to coach you, what would you like me to be coached on?
Speeding up the process of, you know, creating a successful, sustainable company and not guessing every day whether or not, you know, tomorrow is going to grow, or it's taken 4 years to get to, you know, mediocre as far as I'm concerned. And it's like, I don't know if you noticed, but, you know, like, it's kind of
so talk to me. Don't worry about them.
It's just you and me in the conversation. It's my time, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's not like there's not enough time to create, you know?
Yeah. So what does a mediocre game look like to you 4 years into starting your coaching practice? What does it look like? How much revenue did you generate in the last
year? To date, 72,000 this year. So I'm on board to create six figures this year.
Okay. So $72,000 and it's August.
Yeah.
Okay. What you might not realize is...
Yeah, I'll stop there. So,
I saw a couple of
things. I mean, a ton of stuff missed, right? Are you ready to get started asking a really clear, first powerful coaching question that evokes...
What do you want to get coached on?
What do you want to get coached on? But after saying several different things, I mean, it wasn't a coherent, singular question. And then what?
He interrupted him.
Yeah. Well, there you go. What else? The coach interrupted the client.
The coach interrupted the client right in the middle of his sentence. Those were the two major things.
And then I want to say, I mean, you can start to see, and we're not going to get into this any further. Just wanted to give a quick clip that is further expanded. I mean, much deeper on our first piece of long form content on our YouTube channel. You start to see where the coach right away wants the client to think like he thinks. He said, oh, 72,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let me actually play it again. Look at this again.
Well, how much revenue did you generate in the last
year? To date, 72,000 this year. So I'm on board to create six figures this year.
Okay, so $72,000 and it's August.
Yeah.
Okay. What you might not realize is...
So he goes 72,000 and it's August. So he's implying like, you're doing better than you think. And then he literally says, we won't go on. Because you got to watch this on our YouTube channel.
It's so good.
What you might not realize. I mean, imagine like
what you might not realize is
no safe space. I mean, just almost unethical, really, to like dive in. Client wants coaching and wants to shift and level up and create a more thriving coaching practice.
Right.
And whether the
obviously 72,000 isn't enough for what he's.
That's all that matters. It's what the client thinks and feels, not what the coach is now going to really, the entire coaching session.
Try to convince him that it's a lot of money and he's doing fine.
That's exactly what the entire coaching session becomes.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. But it feels when you listen to it, if you don't have me offering reaction and instruction, it feels like it's really powerful coaching because the coach has such a wonderful and powerful presence and confidence around what he's going to teach the client. Now, here's one of the biggest challenges is that most all coaches are approaching coaching this way. And if you or when you approach coaching in a way where you become the ultimate guru and teacher, then you never coach because you never inside feel like you're ready. And you're just constantly seeking more experience and more information so that you can be the teacher and basically identify the problem. Oh, okay. It's 2 minutes in, 1 minute in. It's 1 minute in.
1 minute.
And the coach has locked in on, okay, here it is. Here's the problem. Here's where the client is wrong. Client wants to shift something around income and really start to level up his business. Ah, what you have to realize.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what happens later? I'll give a little. Okay. Oh, you got to see the whole thing, babe. What happens a little later is, this is one of the most important parts, is that the coach tells the client that he's actually in the top 10% of all coaches income-wise, and the client responds, oh yeah, you said that yesterday, because this is a weekend personal development event, and it didn't land. And I'm like, exactly, because it never lands. Our ideas as coaches are never as valuable as their ideas, even if they're the same. So he's already taught this client, hey, like you're doing good, but it didn't land because you can't teach somebody that they're doing good when they feel like they're not doing good.
Right.
And it's only going to make the coaching not valuable.
Yeah. And it almost make him maybe resent the coach.
100%.
Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, this.
Like, what are you talking? Like, you don't know me.
This is considered to be some of the top coaching in the world, and it's literally not coaching at all. And it's what is wrong with coaching, and it's what causes coaches to think that they have to solve problems, tell people what to do, and be the expert. And it causes prospective clients to not sign up because you walk away, you feel unheard, and you walk away feeling like, and in this case, man, I just want to help make him more money. And instead, I had a coach basically like coach slap me and try to convince me that I'm doing fine when I don't think I'm doing fine. That's why you need training. Need training. This is an untrained coach. Like, you don't do any of this. Wait till you see the video.
I'm so excited.
Hey, this has been great. Typical Life Coach Podcast Season 2 has begun.